We're going to study the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Uh-huh. What's the essence of the mitzvah?
Wonderful.
And we're going to also talk about Kvod Zkena, that means his grandfather. I have this essay that I want to go through with you. We're not going to go through all of the essay. You should have 5 pages, meaning 3 pages, but 5 sides. Okay. And it'll say Aleph, Ayz, Gimel, Dalet, Hey on the top left. So you'll see Aleph on one side of the page, and then you flip over to the other side of the same page, you'll see Beis. And that should happen again with Gimel and Dalet until we get to Hey. The punchline of this is in Hey, so we want to get to Hey. That's why I might dwindle it down a little bit so that we get to the point. Anyway, we start with the Pasuk in Chumash and the Chazal that Rashi quotes on that Pasuk. And this is a Pasuk in which the Torah describes Yaakov Avinu bringing a carbon, and it says, Vayizbach Zvachim Leloke Aviv Yitzchak. So Yaakov Avinu mentions the name of his father Yitzchak. And Chazal are interested in the fact that he doesn't mention the name of his grandfather Yaakov. You and I might, please, we just started. You and I might not have noticed it, but Chazal actually noticed it. There are other places in which sometimes a shvua or a bracha is taken on the name of one's grandfather. Here, Yaakov omits the name of his grandfather, Avram. And Rashi, quoting the Medrash, says as follows, Chayav Adam b'chvod aviv yoser mikvod keno. If one has a choice between honoring his father or his grandfather, who comes first? His father, right. Lefichach, therefore, almost as if to imply that Yaakov in this case had only 2 choices. It was either Yitzchak, he would mention his father, or Avram, his grandfather. Is Lefichach Tola b'Yitzchak v'lo b'Avram. The Medrash says that's why Yaakov mentions his father's name Yitzchak, but he doesn't mention his grandfather's name. And the Rambam codifies this in Shulchan Aruch, and he writes in the name of the Ma'arik, Ein Adam Chayav B'Chvod Zkeno. Is there some difference, discrepancy, between what you saw in Rashi in the name of Chazal and what the Rambam writes in the name of the Ma'arik?
Well, it says it specifically
Zkeno. In the case of the Ma'arik, Ein Adam Chayav B'Chvod Zkeno. What does that mean? Do I have to respect my grandfather? Ein. Ein Adam Chai B'Chvod Zkeno. Rashi says that if it's a choice between your father and your grandfather, you give first dibs, first preference to your father, but there is a chiyuv inherently in respecting your grandfather. That's according to Rashi. But the Ma'arik quoted by the Rambam seems to assume that there's no obligation whatsoever to honor one's grandfather. And everybody jumps on this Ma'arik because the Medrash seems to support Rashi's opinion that a person is indeed obligated to respect his grandfather. Although, again, who comes first? His father. But his grandfather is also part of the picture. Not to exclude him. Don't bump him off against the Ma'arik. And this is codified by the Bach, the Shach, the Taz. These are the Gedolei HaPoskim who lived 4 centuries ago. And they all assume pe'echad unanimously that a person has to honor his grandfather. And that's reflected in Rashi and in the Medrash against the Ma'arik. However, the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, in his Biur on Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Reish Mem is the siman that we're focused on, he brings 2 gemaras, 2 sources to support the Ma'arik, which means that there's no chiyuv, there's no obligation upon a grandson to respect his grandfather. There's no chiyuv kibud l'gavis keno, and that would support the Ma'arik, but it would be a problem for all the rest, for Rashi and indeed the Medrash and the Bach and the Shach and the Taz. What are the 2 proofs that the Gaon adduces? The first of them is a bit complicated. We'll try to take a shot at it. It's a sugyan makis, and the Gemara says in makis that if someone kills someone inadvertently, then the Goel Adam, the next in line, the closest relative, is allowed to kill that person who committed murder. That's called the Goel Adam. Shakol Niyam. Okay. Now the question is as follows. What happens if you have 3 generations? You have the grandfather, the father, and the grandson. the grandfather kills his own son inadvertently. Again, you know, it sounds so cruel, but the truth of the matter is, it's even, I don't want to say common, that would be a very harsh term, but it's feasible, because as long as you have close contact with each other, you work together, the father and the son work together out in the fields, or they're up on, you know, tarring the roof, or climbing ladders, this way, that way, it's very possible that this would happen. In any event, the Gemara doesn't flinch about it, and the Gemara wants to know now if the next in kin, who in this case is the son of the son, which means the grandson of the grandfather, whether he should avenge the murder of his own father by killing his grandfather. And the Gemara establishes that Av Sherotzach Es Beno Ben B'Haben Nasa Lo Go Adam. Now, the law is that a Ben does not become a Go Adam to kill his father, because of the intensity of the respect that a Ben has to have for his father. However, it seems nevertheless that a grandson becomes a Go Adam to kill his grandfather. So what's the difference between a son who does not become a Go Adam to kill his father and a grandson who does play the role of a Go Adam to kill his grandfather? Says the Gaon, we see from this sugya that although a son is obligated to respect his father, a grandson is not obligated to respect his grandfather. And if you look in Rashi in Masechta Makis, Rashi says Eino Muzhar Al Kvodo, which literally translates to mean that the grandson is not mandated by law of the Torah to respect his grandfather. So that's one proof that would strongly support the Ma'arik. Once again, just to summarize, the very fact that although a son does not become a Gol Adam to kill his own father, nevertheless a grandson becomes a Gol Adam, he plays that role to kill his grandfather, that indicates that there's no kibud on the part of a grandson vis-a-vis his grandfather, and that's the way Rashi says it. Which means that Rashi himself contradicts himself, because Rashi says that there is a chiyuv kibud vis-a-vis your grandfather, just that the chiyuv kibud vis-a-vis your father trumps the chiyuv kibud vis-a-vis your grandfather. And here Rashi says that there's no chiyuv incumbent upon the grandson vis-a-vis his grandfather. That's Roman numeral number one. Now we get to Roman numeral number two. This is the Gemara in Sota. This is a little bit easier. The Gemara speaks about Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who raised his grandson. His grandson was named Rav Yaakov, and he was Ben Bito, meaning he was his daughter's son. So we're talking about a maternal grandfather in this case. V'kasher gidel v'yomer l'ashkeni mayim, when little Yaakov, the grandson, became a little bit older, the grandfather, Rav Acha, said to him, "Bring me a cup of water." Amar lo, and what did little Yaakov respond? Lav, well, he wasn't so little, because again, he's mature. Lav brich ano, which literally translates, "I'm not your son." True, I'm the son of your daughter, but I'm not your son. Says Rashi, "The ain olay lechabdecha kibben." I don't have the same status as a son to give you covet. In other words, if you were my father, Nicha, but you're my grandfather, and I don't have an obligation to be my grandfather. Mashma would seem, says the Gaon from Rashi, that there's no obligation upon a grandson to respect his grandfather. And Rashi says it explicitly. But then we're left with a contradiction in Rashi, because Rashi, in his Pirush HaTorah, seems to imply that there is an obligation to respect one's grandfather. And yet Rashi in Masechta Sota, as we saw also in Masechta Makkah, seems to assume there's no obligation to respect one's grandfather. So this is a big mess. Now, amongst the later commentaries, the Achronim, we find different approaches to reject the Gaon's two proofs for the sake of the Ma'arik, on behalf of the Ma'arik, and to really support Rashi and all those who agree with Rashi, I mean Rashi al Torah, that there is an obligation vis-a-vis one's grandfather. So for example, some say that since the grandfather killed his own son in the Gemara Makkos, therefore he has the status of a Rasha. He's an evildoer. And there's no Chiyuv Kibud vis-a-vis a Rasha. Now, not everybody agrees there's no Chiyuv Kibud vis-a-vis a Rasha. In fact, the Rambam's opinion is not like that. that even if your father, your grandfather, whoever it is a Rashi, you still have an obligation to respect that. But according to at least many Rishonim, most Rishonim, they are of the opinion that there's no Chiyuv Kibud vis-a-vis a Rashi. And this is based on the fact that the Torah says, "V'nasi v'amchalo sa'ur bi'osa maisa amcha." That when do you have an obligation to respect someone? When he's within the fold, meaning he follows the mitzvah Torah. But here in this case, in the Gemara Makis, he committed ritzicha, and therefore, since he committed murder, he doesn't deserve the cover that you give to a regular Jew, and therefore he's completely removed from cover. That's one possibility.
Excuse me, why would a negligent homicide...
Oh, excellent.
I mean, it's true that he didn't have the proper respect for human life, but a Russia sounds...
Excellent. Okay, Ira, good. You took the words out of my mouth. You hear what Ira's asking? He's saying, okay, he killed, but he's not a murderer. I mean, he did it inadvertently. He could have been more careful. There was an element of negligence. So that's going to be a big sugi. I don't think we'll get to tonight, whether or not a Rotzeh Peshogeg technically is... a rotzeh. The very fact that the Gol Adam is allowed to kill him would seem to imply that the Torah puts him in the category of rotzeh. And although he has the protection of Ari Miklot in cases where he cannot avail himself of the Ari Miklot, he might have to defend himself for the rest of his life against the Gol Adam. For example, the case of a Ger Toshav who kills a Ger Toshav and he's not allowed to avail himself of the miklat, of the ear miklat, even though he killed inadvertently, he'll be put to death for that. So it does seem to be that there's some element of rishus involved in murder that was done inadvertently. I'm not sure if it's the same as what the British and I think the Americans as well call manslaughter. You know, like for example, if you jump a red light and you kill somebody, I'm not sure exactly what your status is in that case. But in any event, the word shogeg here could mean many different things, and the word gol adam could apply in many different cases. But that's one, I'm just suggesting one approach in taking this apart. What about the second proof of the gol, that from Sota? And this you'll see on the bottom right column of your first page. The gol himself rejects the ra'ah, even though he was the one who brought the proof. And he says the following, that it could be that there's a difference between one's maternal grandfather and one's paternal grandfather. Because the Gemara has a principle in Masechet Yevamos, which is called B'nei Banim Harei Hem Kibanim, which literally means that halachically, grandchildren have the status of children. However, B'nei Banos Einam Kibanim. So children from a girl are not like Banim. Again, this is a very complicated sugya. And believe me, I don't want to mislead you and take this at surface, you know, take this at surface value. You know, it's really, you really have to know, for example, Siman Aleph and Ebenezer inside out, backwards and forwards, going to all the Rishonim and the Achronim in order to really appreciate what's going on over here. Okay, fine. In any event, what I want to do now is fast forward, if you will, to page Gimel, and here he presents the opinion of many in the second paragraph on the right side of page Tiritz Nosaf, and this opinion maintains that the answer to the question of Kibbutz Keno is yes and no. It's kind of in that twilight zone. And what it means is that fundamentally there's no independent chiyuv vis-a-vis my grandfather to respect him. But insofar as I'm obligated to respect my father, then in order to respect my father, I respect my grandfather. So the answer is yes and no, meaning really, really there is no obligation to respect my grandfather, but yes, I do have to respect my grandfather because I have to respect my father. We find something similar with regard to my father's wife, who's not my mother. In that case, I'm obligated to respect my, call it, stepmother only because of the obligation that I have vis-a-vis my father. And therefore, the Gemara establishes that, for example, after my father dies, I no longer have an obligation to respect my stepmother. Again, I'm using that term loosely, meaning my father's... I do not have it because, again, it wasn't a direct obligation between me and my stepmother. It was only vis-a-vis my father that had a chiyuv kibbutz. Now that my father's out of the picture, I no longer have a chiyuv kibbutz to my father's wife.
If he made it known specifically while he was still alive, that was his wish.
Okay.
That's
interesting, because that's a Gemara in Ksubas about Rebbe. You know, Rebbe had a three-part tzava, or last will testament on his deathbed, one of which says respect your mother. So the first thing, what do you mean respect your mother? He didn't have to say his deathbed, respect your mother. So some of the Farshim say it was your stepmother that he had in mind. So that's an interesting question. But I don't know Bechlal, again, we'll have to get to this question later on, Dan, whether or not parents have to be respected after their death. I mean, they certainly do, but it's not so simple. In any event, we're just using this as a metaphor, sort of a kind of a paradigm for an indirect kibbutz. And now we want to apply the indirect kibbutz vis-a-vis one's grandfather. And the Ramban, in his Hasogis on the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs, writes, "Ein chiyuv atzmi el nishum kvod aviv." In other words, he's only obligated in kavod vis-a-vis his grandfather insofar as he's obligated vis-a-vis his father. And it could be, therefore, that the two sugyas that the Gaon invokes as proof for the Ma'arik, that there's no chiyuv vis-a-vis the grandfather, they're both discussing a case where the father or the mother, again, it depends whether it's a paternal or maternal grandparent, the father or the mother died. And in such a case, the grandson no longer has an obligation to respect his grandfather. In other words, that obligation is an indirect one. It goes through the channel of one's parent. If the parent is gone, and therefore there's no chiyuv kibbutz, there's no chiyuv kibbutz to the grandparent. Okay. Yes.
That talks about Rav Yaakov is problematic in any case, because even if there's no halachic requirement, there is a certain hashkafic requirement to be a makir tov.
Okay, that's a good point, Ira. But right now, I mean, again, I don't want to give away all the secrets here, but right now, when he said, Yaakov, the grandson, said to his grandfather, Eini chai b'chlodcha k'ben, then according to this school of thought, that is an accurate statement. No, it's the chiyuv kavod kiben is not applicable now morally and so forth.
Hashkeni no mayim is not cutting off your left arm. I mean, it's just a little problematic.
It could be that what Yaakov was saying to his grandfather was that Lundish, you know,
it could have been, yeah.
In halachic terms, I'm not obligated to give you kavod.
Right.
Now, clearly in the Sugya Makis, this answer fits like a glove, because we're talking about the grandfather killed his own son, and the grandson is becoming old Adam. So since his father is no longer alive, he has no chiyuv kavod. But nevertheless, the Ramah writes that a person has to give respect to his grandfather, even liachar moso. Again, this doesn't jive with the Ramah that we started with in Darkei Moshe, who quotes the Ma'arik. Because the Ramah in Darkei Moshe, in the first paragraph that we began with on page Aleph, he wasn't necessarily agreeing with the Ma'arik. He was quoting the Ma'arik. In fact, the Ramah himself, in his tshuvas, meaning in his response to the literature, he maintains the position that a person is obligated to respect his grandson, which, as we saw before, seems to be his grandfather, which we saw before is the majority opinion. Everybody seems to hold that opinion. And not only that, the Ramah in tshuvas goes even further. He says he's obligated to respect his grandfather even after his father dies. Of course, the Ramah had to add that because he wanted that the respect for one's grandfather is direct, that it doesn't go through the medium of his father. And therefore, the two questions that the Gaon raised against the entire school of thought that there is an obligation of, quote, grandparents, those two questions are still in place. They're still very forceful, because the answer that the father died would not make sense according to the Ramah. Also, Rashi, by the way, in all the places that he assumes that there is a chiyuv kvod zkeno, he doesn't mention that did his father die, did he not father. It sounds like, you know, there's no difference to whether his father's alive or not. So in any event, again, keep in mind that what we skipped here, because of time constraints, is the section Beis on the left column of page Aleph. Correct? So you might want to put your, you know, sort of brackets around that, and hopefully, if we have time, maybe we'll come back to that. The left column on page Aleph. But now what we want to focus our attention on is section Gimel, which is in the middle of page Beis, the right-hand column. Does everybody have that Gimel? And we begin with the Shvus Yaakov, who lived about 3 centuries ago. And the Shvus Yaakov reads Rashi very meticulously when little Rabbi Yaakov turns to his grandfather Rav Acha and he says to him, Ein olai lechabdecha kiben. And he wants to emphasize kiben. And therefore he comes to the following conclusion, ha-kibud acher chayv, meaning Rashi seems to be assuming that there are two levels of kibud. There's the more all-encompassing, profound, heavy kibud. That's the kibud that's incumbent on a son vis-a-vis his father. However, the chiyuv of a grandson vis-a-vis his grandfather, that's already a lighter, less profound level of kibud. And what does this mean? I mean, when we saw in all the poskim, the Bach and the Shach and the Taz, that you're chayv to be mechab and your grandfather, they certainly seem to indicate that you have an obligation that encompasses all the actions and the services that a son has to give for his father. The same applies, and that obligation extends to a grandfather. So why do Rabbi Yaakov say, you know, I'm not going to give you this cup of water, this cup of tea that you asked for, granddaddy, grandpa? And why? Because I'm not a ben. But all the poskim assume that all the mitzvahs of kibud, which means the services of bringing food and bringing drink and so forth and so on, they all apply equally to a grandfather. So what? Where does the Shvus Yaakov lead us here? You know, we're left sort of hanging in limbo. He does indicate that the chiyuv to a grandfather, although it exists, is not identical to that of a son. But yet, wherein lies the difference? Okay. And now, if you could put an arrow by the paragraph that starts Ukidei. I don't know if you have a pen. I can't even offer you one because I don't know what I did with mine at this point.
There's one over here. I don't know if I
could get it. Yeah, do you want to borrow that one, Dan, for the meantime? Okay, go ahead. So if you put an arrow by the word of today, and I'll tell you why, because here's where the article starts. I mean, the essay about Kibbutz Av and how to define Kibbutz Av starts here. What we're going to have to do is, we're going to now have to study the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av. What do we define? What comes under Kibbutz Av? And then at the very end, like I said, on page A, we're going to swing back to the first question of what's the deal with respecting your grandfather? Okay? So we're going on a very long tangent, but I would even call it not a tangent, but perhaps the meat and potatoes of tonight's discussion. Okay. What is the essence and the definition of Kibbutz Av? And since we're studying Mitzvos Beinom L'Chaver, I think this becomes a crucial question. Okay. The Ramban, the Ritva, and the Rashba, what I call Chachmei Sfarad, I mean, the big guns back in Spain, they all explain that Kibbutz Av only applies to services that a son is obligated to give his father. And when I say son, his father, obviously it's a son vis-a-vis his mother, it's a daughter vis-a-vis her parents, and so forth, but I'm just using that as a language. But services which bring physical pleasure to their parents. Because if you take a look at the Brisa and Kiddush Daf Lamed Aleph, and I think we've mentioned this in the past, it says Machileu, Mashkeu, Machniseu, Motzio, all the cases that are listed in that Brisa all involve physical pleasure. What about a parent who commands me to do something, and that command, when it's fulfilled, has nothing to do with the physical pleasure of a parent? So, for example, if I get accepted to Harvard and to Yale, and my father says to me, oh, you got to go to Yale and not to Harvard, I don't have to listen. Not according to the Ramban, not according to the Ritva, according to the Rashba. In other words, there's no chiyuv of litzayet litzivuyot. to uphold and implement his command. What I have to do is do services for him, but not his command. And therefore, the Barik in the bottom right says that if my father says, don't marry this girl, I don't have to listen to him. Eina ben chayv l'shmo l'aviv b'zeh. And the Barik gives three justifications for his conclusion, and we're interested in the third of the three, but let's go through all three of them. First of all, he says, I think that this father is commanding his son to violate a Torah law. And for sure, there's no obligation to listen to one's parent to violate the Torah law. If I'm obligated to marry a woman, and this woman hopefully is willing to marry me, my father can't tell me, don't marry her. That's not within the purview of Kibbutz. Secondly, he derives a Kal v'chomer. He says the following. I don't have to spend money for my parents. Certainly I don't have to suffer so much anguish as to give up the woman of my choice that I want to get married to. In other words, if my father asks me to bring him a steak, I don't have to sign the check. I don't have to pay the bill. That's not within the purview of Kibbutz. We pass from Kibbutz Michel. Ah. So how much more so do I not have to suffer this you know, give up my, this is heartbreaking. But what we're interested in is now his third explanation. He says the following.
A steak is a physical sin?
No, if he asks me to bring him the steak or cook him the steak, that I have to do. But I don't have to pay for the steak if he's not willing to pay for it. I mean, I may have to go... I don't know what I'd have to do. I mean, I was always wondering, you know, my father tells me to come see him and he's, you know, 1,000 kilometers away. You know, I don't have to pay for the plane ticket. But I may have to go by foot. I don't know. In any event, what's the third explanation? He says, the Marik reflects the shita that we just saw in the Ramban and the Rashba, the Ritva, namely, that there's no obligation within the context of Kibbutz Avim to listen to my father's command. And therefore, he tells me, don't marry this girl. I don't have to listen to him. The problem is going to be that even though we want to accept that definition and whittle down the mitzvah Kibbutz Avim in a very substantial, profound way, but nevertheless, there's a whole slew of Rishonim, the Rambam at the head of the pack, who maintain that there is a mitzvah to listen and obey my father's command, even if it's not Hanoas HaGuf, I don't give him any physical pleasure. And how do we see this in the Rambam? We'll get to the Meiri in just 1 second. The Rambam writes in the paragraph that starts V'achen, in Hilchas Mamre Perek Vav, the Rambam writes, Misha Omalo Aviv Lavar al Divrei Torah. If your father commands you to violate a Divrei Torah, then you don't have to listen to him. And then, in the very next Halacha, Halacha Yud Gimel in this case, the Rambam writes, Omalo Aviv Hashkeni Mayim V'yeshbiyot Alasos Mitzvah. The Rambam says, in Ein Sham Acherim Lasos, so Yasok V'mitzvah Aniakvot Aviv. And it would seem from the first halacha, that of halacha yibayz, omelo aviv lavar al divrei Torah, that the rabbi is talking about a case where the father has no anos haguf. He's not physically benefiting from it. So for example, if his father tells him, don't go listen to the Megillah, what physical benefit does the father gain from that? So it seems that the Rambam holds that the reason why you don't have to listen to your father's command to violate the Torah law is because of what's called Esham Sosai Tishmo, which is a sugi mesetta. It's a pasuk in Chumash, but it's a sugi mesetta Yivamis, that you don't have to listen to your father to violate the Torah law. Otherwise, the Rambam would say, you are obligated to listen to your father's command. So the criterion for listening to my father's command, if it's not a physical pleasure, is the question as follows. Is it contravening the law of the Torah? And then if my father's command doesn't register, just throw it out. Or is it parva and acceptable as far as the Torah law is concerned? And therefore the Rambam seems to imply I would have to listen to my father. Even though he's not talking about Anos HaGuf, because Anos HaGuf he doesn't get to until Allah Yud Gimel. And let's go back up one paragraph to the Meiri. We're on... Do you have it on page Bays on the left column? Show him where it is, Dan, if you can. He just came in. Do you see it? The Meiri on the third line, when the Gemara says, Yachol Omerlo Aviv Hitame or Omerlo Al Taxir, his father says to his son, who's a Kohen, go into a Beis HaKvaros. and retrieve something on my behalf. Or if he finds a lost object, don't even bother giving it back. So the Torah says, so the Iri writes on that sugi yivamstavov that the case is where the father tells his son, I want you to be busy with me, lasso bichvodi, you know, do all the necessary services for me. Because otherwise, says the Mir, if his father tells him for no good reason and no justifiable explanation to go into Beis HaKvaros, he's a Kohen, or not to return an Aveda, which he's obligated to return, then the father's a Rasha. And the Mir belongs to that school of thought that maintains that in the case of a father's a Rasha, there's no Kibbut Aveim. So therefore, the Mir is talking about a case of something which makes the father a Rasha. And if not for the fact of Eshab Sosei Tishmoru, the son would have to listen to his father, even though his father gets no pleasure whatsoever. One of the great Achronim, Masechta Kedushin, is the Sefer HaMachni. You'll see it quoted here in the bottom left of page Beis. And he comes to the conclusion that to listen to your father's command, although it doesn't come under the mitzvah of Kibud, nevertheless it comes under the mitzvah of Morah. How would you translate the word Morah?
Teach.
No, Morah with an aleph. Morah to teach with a hey. Okay. Or reverence, getting the words, you maybe come up with some better words. So the Torah obligates me in reverence visiting my father. Now if my father says to me to do something and I don't do it, that's irreverent. For example, the Gemara says, Lo yisar dvarv. If my father says X, I cannot contradict it. Most people don't even know this. I've seen people contradict their parents left, right, and center. Maybe it's just a reflection of the society we live in. I don't know. But in truth, you're not allowed to contradict your parents. Lo yisar dvarv. In halacha, maybe you could if you think you have a good basis for it. Even that's complicated. So in other words, you violate Morah, your obligation of reverence, when you contradict your father. How much more so if he says to do something and you don't do it? And therefore, the Braisa says, Ish imo v'aviv tiro eli ela ish, isha minayin. How do we know that a woman is obligated in reverence vis-a-vis her parents? Kshu omer tiro, it says tiro in plural, are kan shnayim, implying that both a male and a female, a boy, a son and a daughter, have an equal obligation of morah. So the Gemara then asks, so why, tell me, does the Torah speak about ish? Why ish? And the Gemara gives the famous, famous answer that a married woman, insofar as she's busy with her husband and taking care of the children and the family and such, etc., ain't sifat b'yadola, so she has no ability to be there for her parents on an ongoing basis. I mean, that's the advantage of a single person. But once she's married, it's very, very difficult for her to wiggle her way out of her family obligations, which take priority, and find herself with time to serve her parents. V'alo krab mora mairi. So the Gemara raises the following objection. We're not talking about a case where a woman or a man are obligated to service their parents. The Torah specifically speaks about mora, that reverence. So with regard to mora, reverence, which means that you can't contradict your parents, what difference does it make whether you're a son or a daughter, whether you're married or not married? It's irrelevant. Mora is something that you violate b'shei v'altas in a passive way if you don't listen to your parents. So what does it mean, ein sipek biyada? Now we're moving on to page Gimel, when the Gemara assumes that ish, in the context of mora, is because it's more relevant for a man, he has more free time to give to his parents. We're not talking about giving time to your parents. We're just talking about not doing anything irreverent to your parents. So what is ein sipek biyada lasos? And the Gemara answers, Kigon kiyum tzivu ya'av, b'dorah she'ein bo hanor. That what's going on in the Gemara, in the case of Mora, is a case where the father commands something, he gets no physical pleasure from that command, so therefore it doesn't come under the mitzvah of kibud, but it comes under the mitzvah of Mora. And How is it relevant or commonplace for a woman that she cannot fulfill her obligation of mora vis-a-vis her father? It's a case of tzivuya, says the Sefer HaMakna. You know, if one of the children, whether it's the son or the daughter, is always available, always in the presence of the parent could command them to do certain things. There's an ongoing relationship. But once a woman gets married and she moves out of her parents' house, and now she's living with a man and a husband and raising a family, at that point, there's very limited interaction between her parents and her. And it's rare and it's not common for a parent to command her to do something. And therefore, within the context of Mora, it's more common for a son to be able to fulfill the Kiyum Tzivui. Now, we come to the conclusion, just to summarize, based on the Sefer HaMakna, that there is an obligation to fulfill your father's request, even if there's no hanos haguf entail. But it doesn't come under the mitzvah of kibbutz technically, rather it comes under the mitzvah of what? Of mora. So therefore, the paragraph that starts the im on page gimel, you'll see that now, according to the Meiri and other Rishonim, this seems to be correct. However, the Rambam, who says that the tzivri of the father is included in the midst of kibud, because again, the Rambam is dedicating Perek Vav, halachos, yud beis, yud gimel, yud dalet, to the midst of kibud, and that's where he says that your father commanded you in a tzivri. The Rambam would therefore seem to indicate that the mitzvah of listening and obeying your parents comes under kibud, and it doesn't come under mora. And that would be a strike against the Sefer HaMakneh. The Rambam in Hilchas Gzeilah v'Aveda Perek Yud Aleph says that if he sees an Aveda and his father says don't return it, he should return it and not accept his father's command. And it would seem that the Rambam is talking about the tzivui, the father's command, even if he doesn't get any physical pleasure from it, any benefit from it. And nevertheless, it comes under the mitzvah of kibud. So just to summarize, we now have a question as to how far the mitzvah of kibud goes. Does it include the physical pleasure of his father and only the physical pleasure of the father? Or does it extend beyond that to any command that a father gives to his children? And now we're up to the paragraph that starts the omnom. If you have that paragraph on page gimel. It would seem from the Rambam that the Rambam incorporates and includes under kibud even cases which entail absolutely no hana for the parent. For example, the halacha of amida lefonov. Again, something that many people don't know about. When your father comes into the room, you have to stand up for him. Same is true of a mother. Even though my father's not aware of it. He just came into the room. I'm on the other side. He won't even notice that I stood up for him. By the time he gets close to me, I'll already be standing. Or, for example, if a man gets sent on as a messenger to take care of something for his father, he's not supposed to say, "Hey, buddy, do this fast. You know, I'm in a rush." He should say to him, "Do it quickly because of my father." You notice he always has to express the respect and the dignity and the honor of his father. Not only that, the Rambam goes on and extends the mitzvah of kibud av even liachar moso. So, for example, the Rambam says that when you mention your father's name after he goes, you have to say zichrono l'chayi olam haba, or you have to say in the first year after his death hareini kaparas mishkavo. All these come under kibud av, even though your father's not aware of it, let alone has any physical annoyance. The father's already gone. So what is the definition of the mitzvah of kibud, at least within the Rambam's frame of reference? We know that it definitely supersedes the limitation of physical pleasure. It goes way beyond that. So what is it? And if we look in the Chayei Adam, this is a very, very famous and profound Chayei Adam. The Chayei Adam, you may know, was authored by Rav Avram Danzig. And many of us recite his famous Tefillah Zaka before Kol Nidre on Leil Yom Kippur. He wrote the Chochmas Adam, the Chayei Adam, the Bina Adam, but here we're looking in his Sefer called Chayei Adam, which is a real classic in Ashkenazic psak. And here he says that the mitzvah of kibud entails three different categories: machshava, dibur, and maisa. And this is pretty amazing. He says, as far as machshava is concerned, a person has to think in his heart about his father and his mother, that they are chashuvim, they are nichbedei eretz, that's from the greats. Every person has to say, my father's great, my mother's great. That's unbelievable. You know, after all, my mother, you know, okay, you know, she's not the president of the sisterhood, you know, she's a great tennis player, she plays mahjong, but nobody thinks of her as, you know, like the, you know, what do they call it in the White House? What's she called? The
First Lady.
First Lady, right? She's not the First Lady. But nevertheless, you have to believe about your mother that she's the First Lady. Unbelievable. And he writes, so all the dibur, and you know, Arini Kapos Mishkovo, and Zuchot Levrach, all that dibur is wonderful. And Maisa, I have to bring him a cup of tea. All that is great, but the Ikar Kibud, he says, is Vamachshava, in your mind. And now we get to the second, to the left-hand column on page Gimel, the paragraph that begins with V'nira. And there's a Mechilta. Mechilta is already from Chazal. This is like, you know, 16 centuries before the Chayot. And this is, says, Kaved es avicha ves imecha, shomea ani bidvarim. I might think that this means that my kavod vis-a-vis my parents is bidvar, is the way I enunciate, the way I express myself. Talmud Lomar, kaved es Hashem mehoncha, the pasuk says that the kibud has to be mehoncha, means from your possessions. B'machol b'mishke b'mishte b'ksus nekiyah. What does this mean? This week? At first glance, the Mechilta is saying something amazing. That the main dimension of kibud is kibud dvarim. But now the pasuk says, kaved es Hashem mehoncha, and that comes to include all services. Whatever I do on behalf of my parents, that's also included in kibud av. And the Ralbag, does anybody know who the grandfather of the Ralbag was? In English they call him Gersonides. But his grandfather was Nachmanides, who was the Rabban. And any of you interested in studying the philosophy, he was a philosopher, the Ralbag, but very controversial, you know. In any event, the Ralbag writes the following. Wait, I just lost my place. Oh, here it is. Ikar kibud av v'ein bidvarim. In other words, he accepts this mechilta as the bottom line, that kibud av v'ein primarily is bidvarim. And therefore, Machabdoli Achar Moso B'maso Matano, which means that when I go on a business trip, I have to mention my father, do it in honor of my father. I respect my father even after he dies. I respect him when I stand up for him, even though he doesn't see me. There's no Hanas Haguf. And yet all this, according to Rabbah, comes from the Iker Kibud Av, which is Bidvarim. In other words, Venafochu, everything is getting turned inside out and upside down. We thought that the Iker Kibud, and we mentioned the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva, is physical pleasure. We mentioned the Rambam that there's also a mitzvah to listen to his command. Now what we're saying is that what is the primary element in the mitzvah of Kibud Av? It's respecting him, bidvarim, in the way I express myself. And if you take a look in the Shoresh Hasheni, because the Ralbag is divided up into Shroshim, he says that Nichla Gab Kibud Shemachal Mashke. He says you could also include on the Kibud to feed him and to give him drink and give him clothing to wear and cover him up at night when he's cold. All that is on the Kabbis Hashem Yehoncha, but that's Gam. That's also included on the Kibud. It means clearly that the Ralbag, standing on the shoulders of the Mechilta, holds that the main dimension of Kibud is Bidvarim. And then, secondly, as a spin-off, is Asiyas Tzrachov. And perhaps this is really indicated by the Brisos in the Gemara in Kiddushin Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. The first price that's brought down is Tanur Rabbanan Mechabdo Bechayev Mechabdo Bemosa, that you have to mechabit him whether he's alive or even after his death. Bechayev Kate said, how are you doing the kibud when he's alive? And the Gemara in this price says that if you're called to do a shlichus for your father, you should say, hurry it up on behalf of my father. Bemosa, you should say, Abba Mori, Harini Mechavaris Mishkavo after he dies, and so forth and so on. Then the Gemara brings a second brice, the Tanur Rabbanan Ezu Kibud Kibud Machil Umashke Malb. It sounds like that's a tag on, that's a secondary dimension of the mitzvah of Kibud. But the real mitzvah of Kibud, the kishkis of the mitzvah of Kibud, if you get my essential obligation of Kibud, is to b'chabit him, b'dvarim, give him dignity and respect, even if he has no physical pleasure, and he might not even be aware of the fact that I'm giving him this dignity. But again, according to the Ramban and so forth, you don't even have to listen to his command, to your father's command. So it sounds like the Ramban is completely rejecting this, and according to Ramban, you reduce kibud down to physical pleasure, machila mashkeu. However, if you take a look at the Ramban in Parshas Yisro, where he interprets the pasuk Kabeis Avich Vesimecha, the Ramban writes, and this you'll see in the paragraph Me'ata on the third line, you should underline this, She'ikar pshat ha-kibud, if you ask me what's the simple understanding of kibud, straightforward, Hayinu nesinas gedula chashivus, to honor your father by giving him a place of honor, by giving him respect. And therefore, why does the Torah equate the cover that one has for father and mother with the cover that he has for God? He says, just like for God, I have to give God cover, so too, with regard to my father, I have to give him cover. And therefore, the conclusion of this is, and that's on the bottom of Gimel going on to the top of Daf Dalet, what we have to interpret in the Rambam is that kibud b'dover she'ein lo hano li'av v'lo b'tzivri b'alma, that's a svara. Let's read it together. He says, svaraso misuyemes le'inyin shmiya l'tzivui she'kein einu nogeya l'to'eles. Moving on to page 4, ha'av ein ha'tzius b'chlal ha'kibud. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that even tzius l'tzivui, meaning even listening to my father's command, is included on the kibud av. However, b'chol sharinyon modu kuli alma, this is the punchline, everybody agrees, even the Ramban agrees, that when it comes to ikar akibud, we come full swing back to the Chayodom, and the Chayodom says the primary dimension of the mitzvah of kibud is the obligation to see my father as me mechubadei aretz, as one of the greats in the land, and he's like the governor, he's like the president. That's how I have to see him in my mind, and therefore I have to give him all due respect, and that's called gedula v'chashivus. To give him gedula v'chashivus, even in things that he, my father, is not aware of. Certainly, there's no anoas aguf. Again, we have to reconcile that with the Ramban shita that you don't have to listen to your father's tzivui. Because in the case of your father's tzivui, it would make sense that if your father is so chashuv, then you should implement his tzivui, and then we're reducing the machlokas between Ramban and Rambam to a null set. So we have to ultimately juggle here is two Rambans. One Ramban, which seems to indicate that the Iker Kibud is Bidvarim, which means to give my father Gedula v'chashivus. On the other hand, the Ramban seems to say that the mitzvah of Kibud doesn't apply in the case of Tzayis L'tzivui, when he commands me something where there's no physical pleasure. But be that as it may, the bottom line is that if we take the perspective of the Chayodah and we apply it in the Sugya in Kiddush to the two Brises, And if we apply it in the Ramban in Parshas Yisro, and in the Rambam's frame of reference to all these cases where I get called out for a shlichus and I say, do it on behalf of my father, or my father's gone and I say, Hareini Kafaras Mishkavo, or in cases where I simply give kibud and chashivas to my father, all that, even though my father has no anos aguf, is the very essence of kibud av. And therefore, to summarize what we're saying in paragraph Dalet on page Dalet, which is on the right side of your page, I hope you're following this inside, because I want you to go over this in your spare time, because it's really a powerful essay. There are two different dimensions of kibud, both of which are obligatory midoraisa according to Torah law. One, and this is primary, matan gedula v'chashivus, to give one's parent gedula and chashivus, and number two, asiyas shimushim, to serve them in any way possible and give them physical pleasure. And if you take a look at the Minchas Chinuch, he's very famous for this. He wavers back and forth as to whether kibud av comes under Bein Adam LeMakom or Bein Adam LeChavero. The Nafkamina is, if I violate kibud, do I have to ask my father for mechila? Does it come under mitzvah as Bein Adam LeChavero like any violation of Bein Adam LeChavero? And the Chizkuni writes in his Perush Al Torah that you can divide up the Decalogue into two halves. The first five are all Bein Adam LeMakom. The second five are Bein Adam LeChavero. And you'll find something very similar in the Ramban. Now, Kibud Av Va'Em, therefore, is included under the first five. It's number five. And therefore, by definition, according to Chizkuni and Ramban, it's Bein Adam LeMakom. On the other hand, the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos at the very beginning of Masechta Peah says that all the mitzvahs listed in Peah, about which the Mishnah says, Ochel Perasein Bol Mazeh, you'll be rewarded even in this world, not just in the next world, says the Rambam, those are all mitzvahs Bein Adam LeChavero. And the reason why he gets schar in this world is mida keneged mida. In other words, he was meitiv, he did something good for his fellow man in this world, therefore he'll be paid back in this world. And included under this list, says the Rambam, b'klal zeh kibud av. And therefore you see clearly that the Rambam classifies kibud av as bein adam lechavero, whereas we saw in both the Chizkuni and the Ramban that mitzvahs kibud avim is classified as bein adam lemakom. The Sefer Yerayim is a third sheet that he says that this mitzvah has two dimensions to it. It's at the same time both bein adam lemakom and bein adam lechavero. So perhaps we can make sense out of all this based on what we said before. There are two dimensions to the mitzvah of kibud av. First, there's one dimension in which I have to view my parents the same way I view Almighty God. That's Kvod Shamayim. My father is also a partner in my creation. Shutaf im HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzirasa. My father links up, my father meaning, again, any of my parents, both of my parents, link up with Almighty God in my creation. Hashem Avinu HaRishon. The Ramban says God is our first father. V'amolid, and our biological father, is Avinu HaAchron, is our second father. And therefore there's a hekesh between Kvod Horim and Kvod HaMakom. So clearly in this context, we can classify Kibud Av Va'Em as a mitzvah Bein Adam LeChavero. However, now we come back to Ira's point from before, that Kibud Av Va'Em also, says the Sefer HaChinuch, right, that's a good couple of centuries before the Minchas Chinuch, he writes that the mitzvah is the essence, or the foundation, the cornerstone of mitzvahs Kibud Av Va'Em, is Hakaras HaTov, is to respect my parents out of a sense of gratitude because they brought me into this world, they worked for me, and they sweat for me, they woke up in the middle of the night and changed my diaper and all the whole bit. And we find this in Yerushalmi as well. Kibud Av Va'Em is priyas chov. It's like paying up a debt. It's like we see quite clearly that the mitzvah is bein adam lechavero. And the answer is there's no stira, because both at the same time are true. The fact that my father is my creator, in inverted commas, that makes it bein adam lamakom hukash kvod kvod amakom. The fact that my father brought me into this world and worked and toiled for me, and I owe him therefore a debt of gratitude, that payment or compensation, if you can call it that, is bein adam lechavero. So we have both dimensions. And they both correspond to the two dimensions of the mitzvah kibud av v'em. There's matan gedula v'chashivus. That was the first dimension of kibud av v'em. Even if my father doesn't even know I'm doing it on his behalf. And then the shimush, it's the service that I give my father. We can say the following, that matan kibud v'chashivus gedula without my father's hanah, that's called bein adam limakom. That means that the father has to, the son has to see his father as if he was Ke'ilu, his creator. He's the secondary creator, but he's his creator. And even if my father is not aware of that, that chashivus, the matan chashivus and gedula, nevertheless, I have to do it. It's not parecho. But on the other hand, the service that I give my father, asiyas tzrachav, to give manos haguf, that belongs to the hakaras hatov dimension, to the priyas chov dimension, and that makes it into bein adam lechaver. Yisach, if this be the case, and now we're on the top of the left column, we can explain the Rambam, that the Rambam says they have to give kavod to your father even if he's a rasha. The Torah asks a kash on the Rambam, he objects. The halach is osa maisa amcha, that you have to give respect to someone who's within the fold. So if my father's a rasha, why do I have to give him respect? And the Lecha Mishnah writes that when the Rambam's talking about giving respect to my father, even though he's a rasha, it's liachar moso, it's after my father dies. I'm sorry, made a mistake. You just change that last point. According to Lecha Mishnah, when we say that your father's a rasha and he's not osa maisa amcha, therefore you're alleviated from the mitzvah of kibud av, we can defend the Rambam by saying that that halacha only applies after the death of your father. But as long as he's alive, despite the fact that he's a rasha, nevertheless, you're obligated in his kibud. So what does the Lecha Mishnah say, what does he mean when he says there's a difference between whether my father's alive or not alive? I mean, we know that the halacha explicitly in the Gemara says that you chayv kibud av even after he dies. Ah, but the answer is the following. The kibud after he dies is what kind of kibud? Is it bein adam lechaver, are you being porechov, are you expressing hakaras hatov? Or is the kibud of gedula and chashivus because he's the yotzer? The bein adam lemakom dimension. What would you say? Ravosa, your father's already gone. Correct? So what kind of respect do you have to give him? Is it the bein adam lechaver respect of service? What service can you do for your father after he's dead? It's got to be the bein adam lemakom, in which we equate the two creators, you know, the creator with a capital C and the creator with a small C. And therefore comes on the bein adam lemakom. It's not hakaras hatov priyas chov, because the father's already dead, he's not receiving anything. When the Rambam writes that you're obligated to respect your father, even though he's a rasha, he's talking about priyas chov. In other words, the matan gedula and chashivus, to see your father as a creator and equate him with kaviyochel, that doesn't make sense if he's a rasha. And the Rambam would admit that. The Rambam wants you to give kibud to your father as a rasha, b'toras, bein adam l'chavero, as priyas chov, not bein adam l'makom. And therefore, the Lecha Mishnah is absolutely right when he distinguishes between whether your father's alive and when he's not. Because now we're talking about a father's a rasha, and we reduce the mitzvah of kibud in such a case to bein adam lechavero, to priyas chov. That could only apply if your father is alive and not after he dies. And this we find also in a tshuva of Rabbi Kiva Eger in the next paragraph. Do you have to listen to your father's tzivui after he dies? Dan, this was your question before. Your father on his deathbed gives you a last will and testament. And he says that on the one hand, we find that the Gemara says, Mechabdo, Bechai, Mechabdo, Mos, you have to give kavod to your father after he dies. On the other hand, you don't have to give kavod to your stepmother after your father dies. So Ramban explains, you don't have to respect your stepmother after your father dies, because that's an indirect mitzvah of kibud. It only applies as long as your father's alive. And now your father is gone. So you see that there's no chiv kibud liachar misa. So how do we reconcile this? Rabbi Kivega says, the Gemara says, that there's a chiv kibud even liachar misa. And yet the Ramban says that you don't have a chiyuv kibulak amisa, you don't have to respect your stepmother after your father dies. And the answer is, it depends what dimension of the mitzvah of kibud you're talking about. He says, yesh chiyuv bein davar shebegdula kovid batzmuso, k'go lomar abba mori. When it comes to giving your father gedula and giving him chashivus, that's bein adam lemakom. That applies whether your father's alive or he's dead, whether he knows about the kibud and the gedula you're giving him, or he doesn't know about the kibud and gedula. But if something is not covered with gedula, essentially, but it's just that you want to give your father pleasure, that only applies when he's alive. And again, this would answer Rabbi Kibbeg's question, is there a chiyuv kibud liachamos, or is there not? So if we're talking about matan, an expression of hakaras hatov, meaning the bein adam lechavero dimension of asiyas nachas, for example, I have to give respect to my stepmother because my father benefits from that, that's only as long as my father's alive. And therefore, when it comes to a father who's gone already, I don't have to give kibud to his widow, my stepmother, if you call it that, because there's no akaras hatov here once your father is gone. However, Rabbi Kibbeg says, when the Gemara establishes that mechavdo liachar misa, it could very well be that if your father gives you a last will and testament on his deathbed, you have to fulfill that even after he dies. Not b'toras bein adam lechavero, because you're not giving anything to your father if he's dead, but b'toras bein adam lamakom, because of the respect that you have to give for your father, the gedula and chashivus that you have to give for your father, which applies even liachar moso. As we saw in the case of Areni Kaparas Mishko. And that brings us to number eight. But what time is it? I'm just looking at the clock. Oh, I think we're going to have to skip number eight and go to number vav. So again, if you want to put it in brackets, we skipped bays and now we skipped hay, because we just don't have time to do everything. He says, let's swing back to the case of a grandfather. Is there an obligation on the part of a grandson to respect his grandfather? And we saw that there were contradictions, Rashi this way, Rashi that way. The Barik, if you remember, the Kashis of the Gon, and the Rayas, and the Shlugot. So Rashi says, and this was the sugi that we saw in Yevamos, that Eino Chayev Lechabdo Kibben. Okay, let's go back to page 1, to page Aleph. To page Aleph in the second paragraph. Rashi, I said in Yevamos, I meant to say in Sota, I apologize. Remember that the grandson, Rabbi Yaakov, says to his grandfather, Rav Acha, he says to him, I don't have to give you covered kibben. In other words, what Rashi's implying is that there is one dimension of kavod that a grandson has to give to his grandfather, although it's not the same, it's not the two-dimensional kavod that a son has to give to his father. And let's see if we can work this out. If it's matan chashivus ugedula, lemisha shutef biyitziraso, hey, who is responsible for the creation, for bringing into this world this grandson? Only the father? I would say the grandfather as well. Because if not for the grandfather, you don't have the son who's the father of the grandson. So if you're talking about shutaf biyitziraso, then you got to give a couple of credit points here, an assist to the grandfather.
And you could argue that he deserves more.
Maybe, because he's an earlier generation.
Well, because he created more. He's the original cause.
Getting back to the original, that you're turning back the clock. So he says the following. This is line 4, you might want to underline this. Chovas hakibud biskeno, the obligation to respect one's grandparent, who mishum hayoso shutaf, to some extent he's a partner in the yitzirasa. And therefore he's like Aviv. He's a molido. However, and therefore, we find that Avram is called a father with regard to Yaakov. Yaakov calls him Elokei Avram Avicha. It means he's like a father in the sense that he's responsible for the grandsons coming into this world. However, Avalchiv, this is 4 lines up before the end of the paragraph, or I should say the right side of the paragraph. Aval chiyuv priyas chov. What about the bein adam lechavero dimension of kibud av? Does that apply to a grandfather? Mistaber. Well, once he adds that word mistaber, you know he's not convinced. But he says logically, it would seem the leka biskeno. That would not apply to a zaken.
Well, it's missing in the Gemara the cases of the grandfather who actually did take care of and raise him, so it's a little bit complicated.
Right, but not the Torah's kibbutz keno, maybe the Torah's hakaras hatov in general. But let's talk about the essential relationship between a grandson and a grandfather. Again, you know, if somebody adopts a child, obviously that adopted child owes a tremendous debt of gratitude to his adoptive parent. But now we're talking as far as the biological relationship between a grandfather and a grandson. He says, there's no chiv priyas chov. Shelo shamanu chovas hakaras hatov lemisha shutaf biyitziras adam shegama lo chesed. Meaning, the chesed that was meted out, that was dished out to the son, or in this case the grandson, was from his father. His father raised him. Again, I was raising the other question, what if his grandfather raised him? But if his father raised him in a normal situation, the grandfather did not raise him, that's not... So what do you have to chiyuv hakaras hatov to the grandfather? Why? Because he was responsible for the birth, for bringing into this world a father who bestowed chesed on the grandson. That's already too far removed. And therefore, what comes out of this whole discussion on the last line on the right side is that the chiyuv kibud l'zkeno is matan gedula v'kavid b'dvarim shu ikar kibud. Now, it's the fundamental primary element of kibud applies to a grandfather as a bein adam l'makom, as matan gedula v'kavid. And that reflects, as we saw in the Chayodim, the main kishkas, the essence of kibud av. Aval shimush v'asiyas tzrachim. Does the grandson have to bring his grandfather a cup of tea? He says that comes on the bein adam lechavero, which is an expression of hakaras hatov, of gratitude. I don't have to have gratitude to the person who brought the person who gave me whatever he gave me into this world. In Cain, now we can understand Rashi. Because Rashi says, Eino chayv lechavdo kibben. What was Rabbi Yaakov saying to his grandfather, Rav Acha, in Masechta Sota? He was saying to him, I don't have the chivud of a ben. The unique chiv of a ben to be meshamesh his father and bring him a cup of tea, that doesn't apply vis-a-vis one's grandfather. Masha einkein et zekeino. Eino chayv lashkoso mine. Fine. To chiv kama. He says, you know what? If you want to give service to your grandfather and call that a kima mitzvah, you're right, it is a kibud mitzvah, but not a direct one. It's not a direct chiv kibud of misharso or mishamsho vis-a-vis his grandfather. But rather, he's giving nachas ruach, he's paying back, it's payback time to his father, because his father wants him to do all these services for his grandfather. But that only applies when? If his father's alive. When it comes to the first dimension, the primary dimension of kibud av, namely gedula v'chashivus, that applies equally to one's grandfather. And that's mitzad atzmo, that's essential, that's something that the grandfather in and of himself has a right to demand. But the chiyuv shimush, that's an indirect demand. That only applies to kiyum because of the nachas ruach that he gives to his father. And now we can, you know, fast forward to the last paragraph, try to fit it in before the bell, even though the bell probably rang already. Vahashta, now we understand and we can reconcile all of Rashi. Because Rashi says, it means he doesn't have the hakaras hatov element that obligates him directly to his father, that he doesn't have to his grandparents. Because it's his father, or his mother, they did all the sweat until they changed the diapers. That's why they say God doesn't have, you know, the older parents, you know, older people can't become parents because maybe they can't wake up in the middle of the night to change the diaper. Okay. V'gam im chay v'cholzus lachil shkiyah zerak mitzad asiyas nachas ruach v'kovel love. V'kevet shekena reik sha'av mes. If his father dies, ein aneched mechuyav lahashko says keno. And that's the case of Rabbi Yaakov, who turns to his grandfather and he says, listen, grandpa, I don't have to bring you a cup of tea. La berecha, no, I don't come to the level of a son with that obligation of bein adam lechavero, because you did all the, you know, the diaper changing for me. You didn't, grandpa, with all due respect. Maybe you sat, you know, sat me on your lap and you read me a couple of books here and there, Berenstein's Bears and all that stuff, but not the full 9 yards. And therefore, lekachiv atzmi of bein adam lechavero. It's not independent. It's not inherent. Hamachayv alashkos. So that's what Rav Yaakov said to his father. V'im achiv mishum mikach imo alo imo mesa. Remember that he was a maternal grandson, but his mother had already died, and therefore there's no nachas ruach to the mother, so I don't have to give you, grandpa, a cup of tea. And then we take the Rashi in Makis, and Rashi, if you remember, says that a grandson can become a gol adam to knock his grandfather's block off. And why is that? He says the following, that in the case where the grandfather killed his own son, the grandson becomes a gol adam, because let's check out the two dimensions. There's no dimension of Beit Onam L'Chavero even indirectly, because his father's gone already. His father was murdered. And if, on the other hand, the Torah's Matan Gedula V'Chashivus, the mitzvah of Gol Adam trumps the mitzvah of Matan Gedula V'Chashivus. Meaning, the only reason why we have to judge the case of a grandson vis-a-vis his grandfather as a possibility of becoming a Gol Adam is because we removed the Bein Adam L'Chavero element, we're left reduced with the Bein Adam L'Makom element, and with regard to Bein Adam L'Makom element, it loses, it's trumped, it's overridden by the mitzvah of a Gol Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Gol Adam to be Mekayim that day. Okay, we'll stop here, and I appreciate that you were able to bear with me. I hope you followed the shiur. If not, you can go over it again. Yeah, there were two sections that we didn't fit in. That's what we have. Any questions before we go? Thank you. We don't have a minion for Myra, I don't think, do we? No. All right, I'll try to get a minion in.
Is there anyone in there?
Actually, I did have a question.
Please.
I'm trying to remember.
The cool thing about this article, if I can summarize it, I don't want to keep you any longer, is that, first of all, he defines Kibud Av V'Em in a very radically new way. And the primary dimension becomes Matan Gedula V'Chashivus, which applies Bein B'Chayev Bein B'Moso, as opposed to the Bein Odom L'Chavero element, which is Akar Satov, that only applies B'Chayev when you give him physical pleasure. The second cool thing is how he reconciles all the contradictions in Rashi with regard to the mitzvah of Kodesh Keno. At the end of the day, he's maintaining that there is a mitzvah of Kvod Zkeno, and it's mitzad atzmo, but that's only b'toras matan gedula v'chshivus, not the mitzvah of shimush. The mitzvah of shimush is indirect through the nachas ruach that you give to your father.
You can even put the Rambam in. There's a way to not listen to your father, and but you do it respectfully. If you tell me to do something, you're a random stranger, I can say bug off.
Right.
If the president tells me to do something, then I would more likely say, with all due respect, I really can't fulfill that. So you can do that with your father as well, or your mother. You can say no, but you'd have to say it in a way that shows I respect you and I honor you, but I just can't do that for whatever reason, and that would probably fit.
Right. So even though your father's asking you to do something that doesn't come under right. physical pleasure,
the Rambam says you don't have to do it, but he would probably say, according to the Shita, that you have to do it you're very important.
Right.
I love you, and I respect
you. The Rambam only says that if it contradicts the Torah law, then you don't have to listen to your father's
right.
teaching. But if your father gives you a command and it's neutral as far as the Torah law is, the Rambam implies that you do have to listen to your father because of Matan Gedula V'Chashivus, which is the primary element in the presentation.
Matan Gedula V'Chashivus might be even saying no, but in a very respectful way.
Excellent. and it would apply liach hamoso. And therefore, if your father gives you a command before he dies, you're going to want to fulfill that command, even after his death, b'toras matan gedula v'chashivus. However, if it's a case where you reduce the chi of kibud simply to bein adam l'chavero, for example, the case of a stepmother, there, once your father goes, and there's no longer nachas ruach, if your father, you're not being poreh his chol, the chol that you're to him, then you don't have to respect your stepmother anymore. Because there, the din of matan chashivus as a yotzer, because that person was responsible for bringing you into this world, that doesn't apply. It's interesting that now it comes out that the grandparent is also considered a yotzer. It's also one of the shukafim in bringing you into creation. Again, that's the...
One quarter of your genes instead of half.
Right.
It's interesting that, you know, at the beginning, you mentioned about the dolim and how they interpret the kibbutz, and, you know, the kalkala wasn't part of it. I mean, like, lechalkela, that, you know...
Right. I'll make you a state,
but not...
But you got to pay me again.
But that, and from Euro, that sounds like it's more the opposite. It's like, you know, general under...
Yeah, under general, a Mora, you say,
yeah, Mora. It would come. It falls under the Mora, you say.
No, I'm saying, what I'm saying is that to pay the bill is neither a Chiv Kibud nor a Chiv Mora.
It's not a Mora either. I mean, that's our normal, you know, understanding about it. And that's not...
Yeah, intuitively, maybe you feel, you know, yeah, I should be paying my father's bills.
That's generally...
We go to a restaurant.
When people,
or,
you know,
in the kitchen, they abandon
their parents in their older age. I mean, that's... you know,
that comes with a different mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of stars, of tzedakah, and the mitzvah of tzedakah puts your father high on the priority list. It bounces off.
But it's like it's,
but I'm
parents.
Asking a different question. I'm asking about Torah's kibud, and the Gemara vacillates two opinions on this. What's Mishal Av and Mishal Ben, and the final maskon is Mishal Av, that my father has the money in the bank. I don't have to spend the money. He's got the money in the bank. I'll do everything for him. I'll go to all ends of the world, and I'll stay up all, you know, the whole night, use all my chef skills, and I'll make him the best meal, and prepare a banquet for him, with all the tastiest foods. But I don't have to pay the bill. He has the money in the bank. If he doesn't have the money,
then it falls under the stock.
Or, for example, if it's transportation fees, could be that you have to go by foot. Okay, Rabbi, so how's everybody doing?
Thank you very much.
If anyone is interested, one knows a way of finding others who are interested, who would want to learn on what I call WebEx, because I'm trying to experiment. I want to get together in groups, but I have to know what days and what times people will be available. Or if you know how to post it so we can get some, I want to get answers into my email, azariaberzon@gmail.com. So please spread the word. I have even a little nusuk. If you want me, I can send it to you. You know, if you have a shul bulletin, or if there's a Facebook, or if you know anyone in the Chutz Laaretz, in the States, I'd like to reach out even to Australia. Australia is 7 hours ahead of us. I think it's 7 right now. It changes. It changes after here it'll be 5 in the morning, and there'll be noontime. You know, but the 5 o'clock in the morning is 10 o'clock at night in New York, so you can get people from New York and Australia. You know, it could be a very good experiment. But right now I have to get the group together. We paid into WebEx, so we have the technology, and now we want them to focus. So if you have any ideas, please.
We're proposing to have a share.